Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. My guest for this morning is Amy Newmark, the publisher and editor-in-chief of Chicken Soup for the Soul. Amy and I will be discussing their latest edition, The Dating Game, 101 Stories About Looking for Love and Finding Fairy Tale Romance. This is a special Valentine's Day broadcast. Amy and I will be talking about love. According to her, the collection will make you laugh, give you hope, and remind you why you love the one you're with. Good morning, Amy. Welcome back to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
It is always a pleasure to have you on the air with me. I have to tell you, The Dating Game is definite fun read. It's very exciting. It's funny. And obviously, this is Valentine's Day, so I'm really excited to have you on the air with me. And the stories are very entertaining, and it's a great book for both men and women. So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited about it. We have two of our four kids getting married this
mm-hmm.
year, and mm-hmm. so this is a topic that is particularly close to my heart right now. Love, romance, proposals, this is my world right now.
Fantastic. What is the inspiration behind The Dating Game?
Well, it's a topic we have never covered before at Chicken Soup for the Soul. In our 20 years, we've had books for singles, we've had books about romance, but we haven't had any books specifically about dating. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be really fun to do one. And I called it The Dating Game because I liked the whole retro thing. And we actually made
yeah.
a cover that looks like a 1960s talk show. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's a really fun retro cover. And I thought it would be great to put it out at this time of year because not only do we have Valentine's Day, but it's also mm-hmm. what we call in the publishing industry, New Year, New You. It's
mm-hmm.
when people are making that fresh start for the new year in January and February. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who are saying either I'm going to make the effort now, dates, I'm going to look online, and I'm going to work on finding my soulmate. Or we have people who are saying, that's it, I'm done. I'm not going to try to date anybody anymore. And by the way, based on the stories in this book, that strategy works just as well as actively looking because it's amazing how many people found
yeah.
somebody when they weren't looking. But anyway, I think it's the time of year when people are reassessing their lives and they are thinking about the romantic side of their lives. Although I have to say, like, I gave this book to my son's fiance, and she's not mm-hmm. dating anymore. She's planning her wedding now, and she just dove mm-hmm. into the book, and she loved it. So I don't think you have to still be dating to have
right.
fun reading stories about dating.
Well, when you talk about love, it is from the heart. You find a lot of authenticity and humility to it, because when you connect with someone at that level, you are really putting yourself in a very vulnerable position.
It's true. I mean, you're putting yourself out there for
mm-hmm.
for acceptance or rejection. And one of the things we do in this book is we really give people hope, and we also teach them how to use a sense of humor to get through those bad dates.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how many bad dates combined with a sense of humor turn
mm-hmm.
into 23-year marriages. You know,
right.
that's another thing
right.
that we saw. I think we're all romantics at heart, which is what made it so much fun to be working on this book.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. How does the fairy tale romance in the subtitle come about?
That's a great question, because originally the subtitle of the book was 101 Stories About Looking for Love.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I read all of the stories, I said, wow, I can't believe how many people end up with what I would really call fairy tale endings. And so I said, let's make the subtitle 101 Stories About Looking for Love and Finding Fairy Tale Romance, because the book ended up being so much more positive and hopeful than I had expected it to be. I thought it would be more about dating and going on and dating and dating and dating and trying. And it turned out it was really a book about great success. That's what it turned into. And I thought that was terrific because it really will get somebody back in the saddle. You know, if they've had a bad relationship or they've had a series of bad, you know, first dates, this book will really get them back in the saddle because this book shows you that there's really hope out there for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Don't give up. Believe in love, and love will find you.
That's what we saw in this book. People were stumbling over love when they were least expecting it. It really was nice. Even there were some people in the book who had kind of weird hobbies and this and that, and they still would stumble upon somebody just like them.
Right. That's what makes it fun. Why did you include a section on online dating?
So I don't know if the statistics are true because the statistics tend to be put out there by, you know, the online dating companies.
Right.
But like Match.com, they did a survey last year and they said that 1/3 of new marriages start online. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's possible, but even if that isn't completely accurate, I do know just from talking to people how many people do go online when they're single. It's just what people do now, and it kind of feels better than going and standing around in a bar.
Right.
So I thought it was really important to include a lot of stories about people meeting online, and it seems to, you know, start with college kids and go all the way up to, you know, elderly widows. And so I thought it was really important, and we had a lot of good stories in that section about good dates and bad dates that resulted from online dating.
Interesting. In reading the book, I did not really realize what the end would be for each story, and you're right, because what happens is that it really grabs you and then make you realize that love is good. Don't give up on it. So I want you to explain to us the stories in this book. How can it remind the readers that love is still alive?
Well, what's great about it is a lot of the stories, they're written in a pretty suspenseful way with a surprise ending. So you'll read a story about a date that didn't go well and, you know, the disaster that happened. Often it's a man writing that story explaining how the date didn't go well and how he was an idiot. And you're reading the whole thing and you're thinking that he's going to end by saying, "So I learned my lesson, and I didn't do that with the next girl I dated." And instead, he ends the story with, "And now we've been married for 25 years." You know, and so that's really nice. I mean, the stories really do remind us that no matter what happens, there's hope. And I was surprised myself by the ending so many times. But yeah, everybody's looking for love. Love is definitely alive, and there's really a good chance for everybody to find their soulmate. And that's, I think, what's so important about reading all of these stories, which are primarily success stories, because it's not that the people who are writing them are the most eligible, gorgeous, you know, fabulous people in the world with no baggage, and they would make anybody's eligible bachelor or bachelorette list. These are regular people with warts and pimples and kids from their last marriage and bankruptcies or, you know, or accidents that have disfigured their faces or whatever, and they're all finding love anyway.
Well, they don't give up. That's the thing.
Or some of them give up and then they find love anyway because at least they were still open. If they stumbled over it, they eventually recognized they had stumbled over it.
Right, right. What are the ages of the people who are looking for love in the dating game?
Well, we didn't really want teens. You know, we really wanted it to be adults, but we did include one story that we thought was good from a 14-year-old because it was funny. I mean, we wanted to have some good dating disaster stories, and this poor girl sat on a milk dud at the movies, and then the milk dud was melted onto her pants in exactly the wrong place, and everybody can identify with that kind of embarrassing situation out on a date. And then we have a lot of stories from college age, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, and then we move into a lot of stories from 40, 50, 60-somethings. Often they are, you know, coming out of a divorce, or they've been widowed, or they're widowers, and so this, they're going for their second shot at love.
Right.
So it's very broad, but you know what's interesting? It doesn't really matter how old the story writer is, because it's all the same. I mean, I remember when my father-in-law became a widower, and he was about 80, and he started dating the widow Mary. That's what he called her, the widow Mary, which sounds pretty funny. She was the widow next door, and I remember him complaining that she wanted to watch Sex and the City every night at 11:30, so their date had to end so she could go home and watch TV. And she wasn't paying enough attention to him, and then she had grandchildren she wanted to spend time with. And I thought, my gosh, you just sound like a 20-year-old. I mean, all of the – everyone has the same emotions about dating at every age. It really doesn't matter. It's universal. So we do have a wide range of people in terms of ages, but I think that the feelings are the same for everyone.
Well, how can the dating game help people who want to reboot their love life?
I was thinking about how this would be such a good gift to give to somebody this week, somebody who isn't getting a Valentine from anybody, because this is like your book about hope. This is the book that inspires you to keep your eyes open, keep your heart open. If you aren't going to actively go out and try dating, like going on an online service or something, at least keep your eyes open and be receptive to somebody coming along. I can't tell you how many women I know who I am positive have had a guy show interest in them, and the women are just clueless. It happens especially with younger women. They just are not understanding that a guy is – the guys are shy. They're not going to come right out and say, I find you attractive when you go on a date with me. So you have, there's a give and take. So I think this will remind people – to be open to it, to be open to a possible relationship. But it's really inspirational, this book. So I think it would be a great book for somebody to read who's really lost hope.
And I agree. And also, it teaches someone, like you just said just now, you kind of have to be aware, though, because besides somebody coming over to you and clobbering you on the head, hey, it's me, you have to look at those subtle messages that people are sending to each other.
Well, and guys don't understand that women do not get those messages. A guy watching a guy give one of those messages understands it. But a woman, especially a younger woman who's just trying to be humble and not egotistical, she's not going to pick up on that. She's not going to understand the guy is giving a signal. And guys are so timid. They really are so timid that they, if the girl doesn't react, they back away because they're, I've watched it happen so many times.
Well, we all go through this fear of rejection. From the guy's perspective, that's our number one hang-up, pretty much.
But I think guys also don't realize that those subtle things that they say to girls, girls aren't going to understand that that's the beginning of the conversation, because a girl thinks it's egotistical to assume that a guy who's talking to her is talking to her because he's interested. Now, as you get older, you realize that's the only reason the guy is talking to her. Otherwise, he's just going to go sit with his buddies and watch the game.
That's
but it takes a while for women to figure that out.
We may have to do another book, Flirting 101.
I remember telling this to my daughter when she was in college.
Really?
You know, I'd see a guy talking to her. I'd say, he's interested in you. And she'd say, no, he's not. I'd say, he absolutely is. You're crazy. No, he just wants to be friends. I'd say, no, he doesn't want to be friends. They don't want to just be friends.
Yeah.
I think until girls are about 40, they still think that guys could just want to be friends.
Right. That's true. So besides all the fun stories that you had a chance to read, what was the most enjoyable aspects of putting the book together?
Well, I think every girl enjoys reading love stories from an early age, right? Like, we're raised on fairy tales where the prince kisses the princess. We watch Disney movies. So what could be better for a woman than putting a book together about dating and love and romance? This is like a dream. So this was like a plum assignment in our company, you know, who would get to read all the stories, because every story that's submitted gets read. Everyone wanted to work on this book, and I'm lucky I get to work on every book. But it was just incredibly fun, and it was really fun to design the cover. I love our cover. It's like this beautiful pearl gray with this dusty pink and this retro design that says The Dating Game and looks like the old talk, the old game show. It's just, everything about making this book was a really pleasant experience, and I've had so much fun rereading the stories in the last day to prepare for our discussion.
Wonderful, wonderful. The cover of the book is very appealing. It looks really good, and I have to agree with you because it just sets a different warmth to it in terms of inviting people, wanting to find out what the story is all about. And, of course, the title, The Dating Game, is just a perfect, perfect title for it.
Yeah, and everyone can play the game and win.
That's right, that's right. I have selected, as usual, several stories from the book so that we can talk about them this morning. Please give us a short rundown of these stories. I thought these stories are just wonderful, and believe it or not, I am standing up for the guys, so we have lots of guy stories to talk about.
Yes, we do. I noticed that. Well, the first one that you picked is the first one in the book, and you can always rest assured that whatever story is first in a book is one of my big favorites. And so this one is in a chapter called Matchmaker, Matchmaker. And this is a story about this woman, Amy, just like my name, and she was the associate editor of an architecture magazine, and she was given an assignment to interview an architect about one of his latest projects. And when she called him, he acted really annoyed, and he was rude. And she thought, well, that's not, that's weird. Well, it turns out she didn't know. He was being rude to her because a previous editor from the magazine had interviewed him for a story that hadn't ended up running and had furthermore lost some of his designs that he had, you know, let to them. So he was not happy with the magazine. But anyway, he called her back the next day and apologized, and they started talking. And sure enough, they started talking on the phone every day, and it became way more than a reporter-to-architect relationship. But he lived more than an hour away from her, and she wasn't really looking for anything. But then he finally urged her to meet. And so they finally met after they'd been talking on the phone for a month. And she says that her heart did an actual flip-flop when she saw him for the first time. So many years later, as she and he were having lunch with a friend, the friend asked how they met, and she told this story about how this man was rude to her, et cetera. And her husband, who he was her husband by then, he started laughing, and he told her the whole truth. She had never known that her crusty old editor-in-chief had actually set the whole thing up, because she was only an associate editor. She wasn't supposed to get this story. And this crusty old editor had decided that they would be a perfect match and had set it up and never told her. And anyway, when she wrote this story for us, they've been married for 23 years.
It's
so I just really like that.
Yeah,
and then we had another great matchmaking story. I know you liked this one also, written by a guy. and this one, this was a really unlikely matchmaker. This guy, Carlton, he was a teacher who taught public speaking, and he had a really poor student in his class who he basically thought was the shyest public speaking student he ever had, and the guy barely got a C in the class. But he ran into this guy in the supermarket one day, and his student said to him, "Are you dating anyone?" And the professor said, "No." And so the kid said, "Well, I really want you to meet my sister, Kathy," and showed him a picture of her. And the teacher didn't do anything. And then he forgot all about it. And then he ran into the student again. And the student said, "You've got to call my sister." And so the guy was sitting with friends one day and told them about it. And his friends grabbed the piece of paper, dialed up the number, and stuck the phone in his face and said, "You're going to talk to her." And so he invited her out, and guess what she did? She turned him down. So he said, "Well, forget that." So then a week passed, and then he finally said, "Well, maybe I should call her. Her picture was really nice." So he called her again, and 3 years later, they got married, and now his new brother-in-law, who was his shyest public speaking student ever, won't ever let him forget about the C that he gave him in class.
It's a strategy. This is a wonderful story in the sense that you don't have that many people that truly recommend guys, especially. But apparently, what I like about the story is the fact that the brother who introduced the sister, basically, in this case, checked the potential brother-in-law out from a perspective knowing him that he's a good person. And it meets all his requirements, so to speak, to date his sister.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
I could tell you, you will run into a lot of guys, and I'm sure from the women's side as well, that you know some girlfriends that you might be very close to, and you would not want them to date your brother.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've only done one setup ever. I set up a friend of mine with a guy, and they dated for 2 years.
Yeah.
They eventually broke up, but I was still glad that I did it. If you know people, you know what will work. I just had a feeling that it was the only setup I ever did, and it worked pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. The next story, this is really fun because it touches the idea about let's forget this ever happened. The title itself just kind of grabs us in sense of date out of hell, so to speak. I'll let you tell the story because it's really wonderful. The first one is Fateful Date by Daniel James.
Yeah, so this guy was very shy. He didn't get very many dates in high school. And so when he did get a date, he wanted everything to be perfect. So he begged his father to let him use his car. And then on the day of the date, he was really determined to have everything be perfect. So he put on his newest pants. He ironed a shirt. He bought breath mints while he was buying gas that said, you know, you'll have the freshest breath ever. And then he pulled up to the girl's house, looked at himself in the mirror, and was horrified to find that his mouth had turned green from his breath mints. And so he didn't know what to do, so he picked up the girl, and he wouldn't smile. He had this very tight-lipped smile. Also, the moment he had seen the green mouth, he had burst into a sweat, so now he had these awful sweat stains on his crisply ironed shirt. So he was keeping his arms by his side, and so he was trying to open the door for her, but without moving his arms away from his side because he didn't want her to see the sweat stain. He wasn't smiling because he didn't want her to see his green mouth. It was just, I mean, everything was going wrong. Then he was driving her to a pizza place, and a deer ran in front of his car, and so he swerved to avoid the deer, ended up almost rolling the car. The car ended up slipping and sliding and tipping on its side, and the car ended up landing on its side. He was thrown against her in the passenger seat, but they weren't hurt, so they managed to climb out of the car. But then they were standing on, you know, the car turned sideways, and trying to figure out how to get off it. So he shouted to her, "Just jump." She did, but right into a ditch of waist-high water. So then, to make it even worse, he burst out laughing at her. And that did not seem to impress her at all. And he could not stop laughing. So anyway, the date ended. His father did not kill him for rolling over his SUV. And amazingly enough, this date, where he had totally blown it, ended up becoming his wife. So
there
that
you
just
go.
Shows.
See?
You bring your sense of humor along, and you never know what's going to happen.
I like the story because women don't realize how difficult it is for guys to not only first ask the woman out and then preparing for it. Because we do want to impress. We want to put our best foot forward. when I read that story, I could just picture myself, okay, great, yeah, breath mint, icebreaker. And then all of a sudden it turns your your tongue green. I'm like, okay, great.
I think this book will make guys feel a little better about all of their faux pas, and it makes women mm-hmm. more sympathetic and more understanding, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. It's really funny because I buy mouthwash, right? I use mouthwash. They have the different color ones. And so I try it one time, and then, like, I look in my mouth, like, it's purple. Like, okay, great. So it's hilarious. It is. It really is hilarious. I want to go back to Matchmaker, and the reason why I jumped over to the Let's Forget This Ever Happened is because it's a guy thing, and I thought that was really funny following another guy, Carlton. But this one is very cute, and this is by Cynthia Patton, and the title of the story is Bulletin Board Matchmaker, and I thought this is a really cute story.
Okay, so Bulletin Board Matchmaker, this woman is a guest singer at a small church, and one of the women in the church decided to advertise that their guest singer was single, and she put this girl's phone number up on the church bulletin board with the words, "Call her, boy, she's available." And so she got two calls, and one guy called, and then another guy called, and they both called her for the same day. So she ended up agreeing to go out with two guys on the same day, which was pretty amazing. She was excited but also anxious about how this would work. And then she confessed to the first one that she was going out with the second one, and he said, "You can't go out with him. He's my best friend. And if you go out with him, you'll ruin our friendship." And she didn't know what to do. So then she called the second one and said, "I can't go out with you tonight because I just went out with this first guy, and he said he's your best friend." And the second guy said, "That's not true. He's not my best friend. I barely know him." So then she was wondering, okay, is the first guy lying or is the second guy lying? And she didn't know what to do. And then she eventually found out that the second guy was lying. The first guy was lying.
The first guy was lying, yeah.
The first guy was lying. And so then she realized she should go out with the second guy, and she ended up with the second guy and ended up thanking the woman who had set them up, because 6 months later, she and the second guy were engaged, and their matchmaker at the church gave them their first wedding shower. And then she goes on to tell us that they have now been married for 31 years. Mm-hmm. And all because this woman was pretty audacious and put her phone number up on the church bulletin board. So, yeah, I mean, matchmaking can really work. Yeah, I mean, you can do it online, but also you can let people do it for you. People really do know what's good for you.
Right, right. The reason why I chose three matchmaker stories, because it's kind of interesting, because it goes into full circle. Long, long time ago, that's how men and women meet each other. The parents knew what's good for them and what's not good for the kids and so forth. And of course, we got into the situation, well, no, I'm going to make my own decisions and so forth. And that's wonderful. And then now we go through the cycle where, you know what, we need somebody to help us to find our qualities and hopefully find someone that has the right qualities, and we can connect that way. And I'm sure as a mom, you have a different perspective about this as well.
I'm really excited about the significant others of all four of my children, because they all make my children happy,
mm-hmm.
and that's what really matters. That's all I really care about, is that does this person make my child happy? I know some people have other criteria. They want someone of the same religion or the same ethnicity,
right,
or whatever,
right.
But I just want my kids to be happy. And I respect them enough that they can make the decision for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know it's not going to end your life if you pick wrong and you end up divorced in 15 years. Like, you can get through that.
Right.
So sometimes, I mean, I know people who've gotten married where I was pretty sure they were going to end up divorced, but they just needed to get that out of their system.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case with my kids. My four kids have all picked somebody who I think is a real keeper.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. Beautiful story. The next one, which is interesting, let's forget this ever happened, and this is by another guy again, and his story is, what was I thinking? And this is really funny, too.
This guy, David Martin, he's Canadian, and he writes a lot of funny stories for us, and I never knew this about him, because he seems so confident, but he said he had really been practicing dating a lot because he wanted to be really good at it so that when he met the right woman, he'd be suave and debonair and polished. Mm-hmm. Well, it turned out when he met the right woman, he totally fell apart and wasn't suave and debonair at all. He could barely speak. So he says that when he finally met the right woman, he was reduced to being a gibbering idiot. And he made dinner for her, and then he decided to take her out to a movie. And he had this whole evening planned, and he took her to a special showing at the Art Center, and the movie was going to be shown on an extra-large screen backed up by a symphony-quality sound system, except that he did something really stupid. He took this woman on their first date to see Apocalypse Now. So she absolutely hated it. And when he asked her out again after that, she said no. And he didn't see her then for 5 years. And 5 years later, he met her again, and they started going out. And I guess she had forgiven him by then. And they've been married now for 20 years.
See, sometimes we don't think straight, but our heart is straight, though.
Well, I guess he thought seeing Apocalypse Now on a big screen with a big sound system was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Well, the intentions are good. I think in the end, that's what prevailed in all actuality, I think, even though they met some years later and things have changed. But the idea was it was a genuine kind of thing, because it's not a guy thing. Because a lot of times if a guy wants to see Apocalypse Now or something, it's more of a guy thing. But this is genuinely thinking that we as a couple will enjoy the movie.
Yeah, he meant well.
The next one, this is interesting. Of course, you talk about online dating and so forth. But this is not an online dating. It's close to an online dating. It's prelude to online dating. It is speed dating. And the title of the article is Speed Dating in the Slow Lane by Maureen Buckley.
So this is in the chapter called Let's Forget This Ever Happened, where we put a lot of stories about dating disasters or attempts at dating that have gone awry. And in this case, these two women who were both divorced and only in their early 50s saw a sign for a Valentine's Day speed dating event for people over 50. So they figured that would be good until they pulled into the driveway of the address they were given and saw a sign that said Senior Center. And they got in there, and it was all really, really old people. You know, like when the man says, can you still drive at night? You know, it was like that. And so one of these women is a social worker, and she said, I feel like I'm working tonight, because everybody she met would start crying in her arms, you know, I just lost my wife, whatever. And so it ended up being a total disaster. But then Maureen says that she still got something out of the disastrous evening, because she realized that we're all in the same boat, and she realized that everyone there wanted to make a connection and didn't want to be alone. You know, even if they were 85, they were out there trying to make a new connection. And she was proud that she and her friend at least put themselves out there, even though there was no one eligible for them at this event. Mm-hmm. But she got a sense of being part of a larger community of people who are out there trying hard, putting themselves out there looking for a soulmate. So I think overall she felt it was a good experience for her and her friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I got from that story in itself, I mean, it takes courage to go out there to do that. I'm sure we all have this conversation, yeah, let's try to do it. And in the end, no one does. It's one of those things where it's funny because it's like we're all standing in line and each of us trying to move forward, and then the one that it's gullible move forward and everybody else is still on the sideline. And to have the courage to go out there on the speed dating and basically having this short period of time to kind of let people know who you are, that's tough. Being vulnerable in that period of time and not knowing what that information is going to do to you.
Yeah, and they go around and they check off on a list which people they want to see, to know better. So then what if you don't get any check marks? That's pretty scary.
Yeah, yeah. You got to give the people that participate in speed dating a lot more credit than you think it is. It's not a silly deal. It does take a lot of courage to do that.
Yeah, because when you're doing it online, it's more anonymous. But when you're right there, everybody knows if you didn't get any interest.
Right.
Or, it is scary. I've never done that, but I don't even know anybody who's ever done it, but I know it exists.
Right. The next one, this is about meeting someone online. We're taking a different turn here because this is where the moment I knew, an unconventional start by Catherine Matisse. This is a wonderful story in the sense that do you really know when you meet someone, the it person?
Yeah, so she met this guy, Nick, online, and they, went back and forth online, and then after a few days they set up a real date, and after about a month of dating, she was in a terrible accident, and he called her looking for her, and her roommate answered the phone and told this guy, Nick, that she was in this horrible accident. She had broken 3 bones in her wrist. One of her eye sockets had collapsed. Her cheekbones, her nose, and her jaw were shattered, and she had lost some teeth. And this guy, Nick, who had only dated her a few times, asked if he could visit her anyway. And he ended up being completely devoted to her, and she didn't want him to see her this way. I mean, her whole face was broken. She really didn't want to see him, but he insisted on it, and he started visiting her regularly, sending her flowers every other day. And then once she got out of the hospital, Nick kept visiting her, even though she was missing teeth, her eye was all messed up. Her mother had to move in with her to take care of her, so the dates involved Nick, her, and her mom. And Nick ended up spending Christmas Day with her mother, her sister, some of her girlfriends. She says, to say the least, our relationship unfolded very unconventionally. Because 2 months after their first meeting, Nick saw her all bashed up in the hospital. But anyway, now they are living together. They're expecting their first child. And he really proved himself. I mean, he saw her at her absolute worst from almost the very beginning of the relationship, and he wasn't scared off.
It's just a beautiful story. I think you'd be surprised at how love works in so many different ways.
Well, the next story that you had pointed out is one that you really liked. It's the same idea again, but going in the other direction, where the man is the one who was injured. It's so interesting that we had two like this in the book. But this guy was in college. He was starting his junior year, and he was taking Spanish because he had to. And this girl was in his class, and on the first day of school, he sees this girl, Laura Miller, and he immediately sent a text message to one of his friends saying that there was a girl in his class who he was going to marry. And his friend texted back, yeah, right. Well, so then he started talking to her, and over the next few months he would chat with her before class and after class. But he was very timid. Finally, he got up the nerve to send her a message saying that he needed some help studying. I mean, this is pathetic, right? He still doesn't have the courage to ask her out on a date. Finally, they started hanging out together, going to movies together, but they were just friends. And he had been assaulted the previous summer, so he was still going through a lot of surgeries and on his face also. He had to have multiple surgeries to rebuild his face. So their relationship turned romantic, and then she ended up staying with him through all of these different surgeries. And he said, you know, Laura's reaction was not what I expected or feared. She did not consider walking away from the situation, but rather took it head on. And he said during the multiple facial reconstructive surgeries, she never left his side. And when it was all over, he proposed to her, and she said yes. So that was really nice. Another example of somebody seeing through somebody at their worst and staying in there for the long term.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a beautiful story. And again, when you connect at the love level, and this is very difficult too, because a lot of times men and women, and I guess more so than men in this case, I guess, relating to the story before this, we all very visual. When we allow ourselves to go past that and start looking truly at the heart, then the dynamics change.
That's true. It's a wonderful test for a new relationship.
And the next one, this is interesting. I love the subtitle, by the way, the chapter titles, lookingforlove.com.
Yes. We had a lot of fun with this book. We also have that, we have a fun chapter called It's Not Me, It's You.
Right,
you know how
right.
People break up and they say, it's not you, it's me. We decided to have a chapter that said, it's not me, it's you.
That's right, anyway, it's definitely you.
Yeah, so this book, though, this story actually could have gone in that chapter also, because this is about a guy who was a real jerk. So this guy, this woman met this guy online, and he was just frugal. We'll call him frugal, not cheap. But he was, he would scour the newspapers every weekend looking for coupons and comparing deals, and he'd go to two different grocery stores just to get the lowest possible price at each store. And she said he had an extraordinary amount of groceries because he kept buying stuff on sale. Mm-hmm. And he also seemed to keep track of every dollar they spent on their dates to keep it equal. So he was pretty cheap, but she decided that she was going to hang in there anyway because there was nothing wrong with somebody who was frugal. But then after a while, she realized that he was still getting emails from Match.com, which was how they had met. Mm-hmm. And so she thought, oh, well, she knew when she had canceled her subscription, they had just sent her emails a few more times. So she said to him, oh, you're still getting emails from Match.com, huh? Because they had a committed relationship at that point, according to her. And he said, well, no, I paid for a full year. So he wouldn't give it up because he had paid for 12 months. So, and then to make it worse, they had gone away together, and she had snapped this really nice picture of him in the desert in Arizona. And what's the picture he has up on Match.com? It's not the old picture. He's actually uploaded a new picture, the one he took, that she took of him on their little getaway together. Anyway, she broke up with him. But, yeah, we have to have those stories, too, about the relationships that don't work out, because we have to be realistic. But the important thing is to keep on trying. And then we had another one in that chapter called It's Not Me, It's You, but that was also about a total turkey. And this one is called Turkey on the Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from one of our regular contributors, Jan Bono. And Jan went on a hiking trip with this guy, and she actually, I think she provided a turkey for this and brought it along. And she needed to go to the bathroom as they were driving around in the wilderness, but they were with a large group of people. So she got out of the truck, and there were no trees or anything, so she just had to do her thing by the side of the truck. And then the guy, Eric, started shouting at her that the other guys were coming and she'd better finish up, so she had to stop right in the middle. Trying to pull her pants up, he starts driving away. He puts the pickup truck into gear and starts driving away. She's running after him with her pants down around her knees, looking like a duck. And he's laughing. And she was so furious. Anyway, she dumped him. But we did have a bunch of, you know, bathroom humor kind of stories. That was one of them.
But you see, in the spirit of fairness, you have stories now that make us guys look the reason why we're by ourselves.
Uh-huh. That's true.
I like the list by Samantha, the cloud walls. It's not me, it's you. I thought that was really interesting because we all have lists, but I want you to tell us the story about that, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, this is another guy who needed to be broken up with. So she made this, Samantha made this list of all the qualities she wanted in a guy, and she wrote down single, attractive, witty, well-educated, well-employed, health-conscious, family-oriented, loves animals, shares my politics, enjoys the out-of-doors, and enjoys biking. So, profile on an online dating site, and she found a guy with all of those qualities right away. And so they started biking together different places, but he kept like riding ahead of her because he wasn't going to let her slow him down. So it was more like they were two people out biking, but they would ride independently, and then they would meet up at the end. And on one expedition, he said he was going to take her out to a really fabulous restaurant when they got to their destination. And so she packed a little dress in her backpack and some strappy sandals for this great night out. And then he ended up taking her to one of those, you know, unlimited salad bar kind of places. And then I think the last straw for her was when they went out riding together, and he rode ahead of her the entire time. And then when she finally got to their destination, you know, tired, wanting to chat, wanting to rest, he turns around and gets on his bike and goes right back in the other direction again. So it wasn't really a date. It was just the two of them out riding independently.
Right.
So she decided to amend her list, and the new list included thoughtful and listens well as her key criteria for her next date. And I happen to know she did end up marrying a wonderful guy after that disastrous date.
We talk about just now in terms of reading men and reading women, of course. I mean, this is a funny thing because there are a lot of things out there that men sends out that tells you that's not the guy. And yet you have women that keep on hanging on for too long.
Yeah, we didn't really get into that in the book, but there are definitely women who make bad choices because they're just desperate to have a man in their lives,
even if
he's obviously the wrong one. And I think what's good is that we have so many stories in this book where the woman puts her foot down and says, nope, you are not right for me. I am moving on.
Yeah,
and that's a
very
healthy message to send.
Right, right. The next story, what's wonderful about this story is that it's in the chapter titles in this case, Never Too Late for Love. And this is a wonderful story, My Favorite Dance Partner by Diane Lynn.
Yeah, so she went out with her girlfriend, and they met these guys, and her friend whispered to her dibs on this cute, dark-haired guy named Joe, who Diana Lynn really liked, but since her friend had said dibs, she wasn't able to date him, although her friend didn't date him either. But just because her friend had said dibs, he was off limits. But over the years, she and this guy Joe kept talking to each other. They never dated each other, but they were friends. You know, we've already discussed that. That doesn't really work out between a man and a woman. And eventually he moved out of state, and she lost touch with him. And she always thought, like, what if my friend hadn't called dibs on him? Maybe I would have dated him. Well, years later, the phone rings, and it's Joe. And he's moved back to her state again, and he wants to get together. And so they got together. Their first meeting was 8 hours, and it got dark, and all of a sudden they were kissing, and that whole thing about just being friends was out the window. And finally they were having the relationship they should have had all those years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the lessons from that is don't listen to your friend when she says dibs and then she doesn't even date the guy. Like, go back. Get another opinion from your friend. You know,
right.
You can't call dibs and then not take the guy.
This is another wonderful story, and again, this is from a guy. Happily Ever After, that's the chapter title. Falling for Her is His Story by John Scallon.
Yeah, guys are good at making fun of themselves, especially if they end up with the girl anyway. So this guy, John Scanlon, who's one of our regular writers, he was on a temporary work assignment in Florida, and another Amy. A girl named Amy called him. They hadn't seen each other in a year, but they decided to get together, and as he describes her, she was a goddess. Yeah, I'll take that. I would say all Amys are goddesses. We'll go with that. And he had silently worshipped her from afar. Yes, mm-hmm. I probably have those too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they decided to go to Universal Studios theme park together, and they were going to stay at the Westin as friends, platonically. And so they went back to the Westin after dinner one night, and he decided it would be quicker to get to their room by cutting through the pool area. So he opened the door for her gallantly, because after all, she was a goddess. He followed her through, and then I guess he was just so awestruck by her beauty and goddessness that he stepped to her side, didn't even notice there was an entire swimming pool there, and fell right into the water. She burst out laughing, and the next day, they switched from being just friends to officially dating.
See,
yeah,
sometimes
quick route to success, fall in a pool.
See, we have to set up some idiotic kind of thing so that it's something that you women will remember us by.
I see. Yeah, that's right. He finally became memorable to the goddess.
There you go. Then you will never forget. You say, oh, yeah, I remember that, you know. So anyway, that was a wonderful story. The next one, which is really, really nice, meant to be. When one door closes, I presume the next one opens, by Heather Davis.
Okay, so this is a fabulous story because this girl was dating this guy who was completely unreliable. He was always late. Sometimes he would miss their dates. If he said he was going to bring something, he would forget to bring it. And she was sitting in church waiting for this guy to show up, that she had finally had it. And she said, he's late again. And then she says to her friends, how about this? If he's not the next person to walk through that door, I'm done with him. So after a few minutes, the door opens, and a different man walks through the door. But he's actually pretty attractive. She had never really seen him before. And she ends up realizing, wait, I have seen him before. We took courses together in college.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes and, you know, says hello to him after. And he's just moved to her town and decided to visit her church. They start dating. 9 months later, they were married. And she says, yes, when one door closes, another one opens. I'm so thankful Brian opened that door. So I liked that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. This book is really fun to read. I have to tell everyone that this is just a wonderful read. I mean, you don't have to be looking for love. You don't have to be already in love and whatnot. This is just a wonderful bunch of stories to read, and it makes you laugh. It makes you think about the silly things you have encountered in your life or know of someone that have done something in their life. And so it's just a fun read. It really connects with you at all levels. What are some of the exciting proposal stories that you have in the book?
Well, we were really fortunate. We got a story, and it just showed up, and I was so excited. Mm. There's a woman named Elvira Van Horn, and she had a boyfriend named Travis who was an opera singer and did this really funny thing where he could sing like a soprano. He could mimic a soprano singing opera. And he was like this big guy who looked like a football player, and then he would sing the soprano arias and things. And so she tricked him one day into going to an audition for America's Got Talent. Well, he ends up, the judges love him. He goes very far on the show. He goes to the Las Vegas round. But anyway, in the second round, he gets up and he proposes to her. And it's all over YouTube. And I put the link to the YouTube video in the book. And you see him proposing to her. She has no idea this is going to happen. And she's up on the stage now, you know, crying and saying yes to him. And it's just so heartwarming. Like, you can't watch this without tearing up a little bit, but also with a big smile on your face. So I was very excited to have that story because that's something that millions of people saw on television.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a live broadcast, and what's interesting about it, it's original. Very, very, very original.
Yeah, it is. It is. I love the fact she tricked him into going for the audition.
Very interesting. As usual, we're coming close to the end of the hour. We really love all the recipes for living life that you've shared with us in the past. So do you have a wonderful recipe for living life this time around, and maybe perhaps about love, to share with us this morning?
You know, I was looking through these stories and thinking about some of the lessons, and I thought the lessons from these stories, even though the lessons pertain to finding love, really pertain to life overall. So one of the lessons that I learned from the book is that you should listen to the people who know you best, because they do give you advice based on really knowing you. And another tip that I got from the book is to always bring your sense of humor, because it really does help, even in disastrous situations, and it can turn bad into good very quickly. And another tip that I picked up from the book is try again. Like when David Martin took the girl to Apocalypse Now and then tried again 5 years later, and this time she married him. you know, like, you should keep trying. And then another tip that I picked up from the book is don't be afraid to let someone see you at your worst. Because we definitely had those cases where people were seen at their worst and they still, you know, their loved ones still wanted to be with them. And then I guess the final tip is when one door closes, look for an open one. There's always another opportunity out there, whether it's in love or in life in general.
That's wonderful. Everything is very true. Ultimately, be the authentic you. That's it. And that sums it up from that perspective. Amy, thank you for the wonderful recipes for living in love, in this case, and living life, and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Dr. Dan Peters. He is the co-founder and executive director of the Summit Center. Dr. Peters' area of expertise is working with gifted, creative, and twice exceptional children. We will be discussing his latest book, From Worrier to Warrior, A Guide to Conquering Your Fears. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed week. Amy, it has been a pleasure. Thank you again, and have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.